It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Thank you for joining us. Each of you, you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, and you were made for this time. Thank you to this team I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the great people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And producer Steve, we've got something very special today because researcher Patty Kurgan is in studio.
Yeah, no, not just something on a screen that Patty says, but Patty herself.
Patty, the real Patty is here. Patty Kurgan, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me and letting me participate in this beautiful view that God made.
Well, we do. We have a great view. We are on a 12th floor looking out to the west, and the good Lord is definitely showing off.
Yes.
So it's great to have you here. So the second segment, there's something that you said, Kim, people are not talking about this danger that of what happened out on the East Coast regarding this cyber attack.
Correct.
And so we'll talk about that.
It needs to be discussed in our energy policy.
And third and fourth segment, where you've been going through this transportation bill, and it is very, very naughty.
Oh, very naughty. And thick.
And thick. 197 pages.
Correct.
And that's like a lot longer than the Constitution of the United States. That would be a problem, yes?
Absolutely. But, the bills are only supposed to be single subject. They have five new enterprises. So how does that pass the single subject test?
Well, good question. What were you going to say, Steve?
Don't you love the way it's directly proportional? The thicker the package, the worse the bill.
True that. And to your point, new bureaucracies, new paid, unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats in these things. It's terrible. But we'll talk about that in the third and fourth segment. Be sure and check out our website. It is kimmonson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get a first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts and op-eds. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are supporting the show. You can contribute there. We are an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity and look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. You should be able to engage in the battle of ideas and make the case to do that. So be sure and check out my website. That's kimmonson.com. Steve, we talked about it yesterday, but America's veteran stories, each and every story is so, they're all individual. They're so important. But this week, on Sunday afternoon, 3 to 4 p.m., Manert Kennedy, he was a Marine at the Chosin Reservoir, which is just a terrible Marine battle in the Korean War. And it is a fascinating interview.
Well, yeah, this is kind of a departure from the series we've been doing on Vietnam. Obviously, Korea happened before then. But I wonder if it didn't set the tone for where we were going in our military activities around the world, and certainly not a success story. And again, these guys were aware of what was happening on the other side of the DMZ, who was really there in terms of, it wasn't just North Koreans, it was, the Chinese as well.
Well, and the Chosin Reservoir, there are many Marine battles that are very famous, but there's Belle of Wood in World War I and Iwo Jima in World War II, and the Chosin Reservoir in the Korean War. And the temperatures were 30 to 40 below, and they were in this battle for almost 30 days, and it was 120,000 Chinese and 15,000 U.S. Marines, and Manert Kennedy was there, and you will not want to miss that story. It's on 3 to 4 p.m. on Sunday, and then they do rebroadcast that 10 to 11 on Sunday as well. And these stories are brought to you. I have these great partners that I get to work with. And one of those great partners that sponsors both the shows is Hooters Restaurants. And they have five locations. Let's see, that's Loveland, Westminster, Colorado Springs, Lone Tree, and Westminster. Did I say that? Aurora? Okay, Aurora's the other one. And last night, the girls came over, Patty, and I ordered the wings. I had the lemon pepper rub, and you could hardly get to them. There were, I mean, you got to get in line for those.
I didn't get any.
You didn't get any? You got to be quick. As Steve knows, you did get to come to our girls' meeting, what, once or twice?
Once.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It was and just one. I made the mistake of maybe cutting in line. I didn't realize it, but next thing I knew, I was outside. So.
There are rules to our meetings, that's for sure. But be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And go to my sponsors tab. All of these sponsors, I highly recommend. And you'll find all the specials for Hooters. And they have happy hour. They've got kids eat free, all kinds of different specials there. So be sure and check that out. Patty, it's great to have you in studio. We're going to be going through some of these headlines, this terrible transportation bill. We'll talk with Karen Levine a little bit later, as well as Jason McBride. But our quote for today is from T.S. Eliot. And T.S. Eliot was a poet, essayist? I guess that's how you say that. Essayist? Essayist. How do you say that?
Essayist.
That's what I was...
You got me confused.
Now we go. Anyway, he writes essays, is what he did. That was another thing that he did. He's a publisher, playwright, literary critic, and editor. He's considered one of the 20th century's major poets. He is a central figure in the English language. He's a modern in modernist poetry. He was born in 1888, and he died in 1965. And he said this, the tendency of liberals is to create bodies of men and women of all classes, detached from tradition, alienated from religion, and susceptible to mass suggestion or mob rule. And a mob will be no less a mob if it is well fed, well clothed, well housed, and well disciplined. Pretty fascinating, Steve. We think the things that we're facing are new. They're not. It's each generation. And I find that pretty amazing, Steve.
Well, as I said in our pre-call, what you just said, we think that this modern situation, this contemporary situation we find ourselves in is just that. It's contemporary. But clearly, by T.S. Eliot's thoughts here, the liberalism has been a pain in the neck for a long time.
And it is each generation. And we talk about this. One of our quotes is that it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their livelihoods, whether it's with a weapon, which that's how they used to do it in the old days, Patty. They'd ride in with weapons and they'd take your stuff. Now they ride in with policy and excessive taxation and fear and they take our stuff.
Yep, exactly.
And that's not compassionate to do that.
Well, so a lot of people are getting hurt.
A lot.
I throw in my two cents. Okay, make fun of my age. That's fine. And, the big one was earlier this year. Not today you didn't, but the big one was earlier this year, the 6 and the 5. And you like to think that you've done a good job over the last 40 years planning for this time of life and your different resources that are out there. But all of it is not so clear, not so sure.
Well, and the inflation numbers came out, was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
And 4.2% on the CPI, right, Patty?
Correct.
And just think about, are your wages going up 4.2% right now? Most people know.
No.
And this is because of policy. When we talked with Jason McBride about inflation, there are things that, these consumer prices go up, but the question is why? And a lot of it is because of policy and taxation. And those are things that we could actually fix. And I don't see a whole big effort on trying to do that from the Harris-Biden administration, Patty.
No, it's exactly the opposite, even here in the state. With this new transportation bill, there's all sorts of new fees. A lot of it will go towards the trucks that carry all the goods that end up in our house.
They have to pay more? We'll have to pay more.
Exactly. They're not going to eat those costs up. They're going to put it on.
They can't. And that's one of the things, Patty, is people think that they don't take those costs because they're greedy. It's not that. If they don't pass those costs on, they go out of business. If they go out of business, you don't have anybody that are delivering these goods and services.
Right. Or it becomes a monopoly. So if you thought it was high before, just wait until you only have one or two players in the game.
True that. Steve, did you want to comment on that?
No. No, you laid it out there. That's exactly the issue. And only one thing I would say, hopefully everyone's picked up on your little snarkyism there, the Harris-Biden administration. Actually, there's a third entity, according to Fox News. It's now the Harris-Biden-Rice.
Ooh.
And she's being dubbed, at least by Fox News, as the shadow president.
Susan Rice, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Another holdover from another day, but we won't talk about
the
that.
The Obama administration. Boy, and you know, one of the things they want to do is they want to get you out of your cars. Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum, he said, you know, one of their goals is that we will own nothing by 2030. There will be a carbon tax and we see this right here in Colorado, Patty, with this transportation bill. And they want to get people out of their cars. They want you to be riding around on public transportation or bicycles because it limits what you can do. And Steve, when I was coming around the corner this morning, I saw one of those big accordion buses. Guess how many people was on it? One.
Probably, okay. One, the driver?
No, then two, counting the driver.
Okay. Well, and I see the 4 o'clock, whatever the line is, at 2:25 and 25, I inevitably run into a southbound train, a light rail train, and it's tough to kind of watch the road, but watch the train. There can't be more than two people on that, and it's three cars long.
And think about the carbon footprint on that. Just think about the cost of what we are paying to make that happen. And I was just thinking about, and we have Republicans, we have big government Republicans that are behind this this transportation bill. Patty, I can't believe it.
I'm right there with you. And then not only do we have those who are participating in the approval, we have a lot who we think don't approve of it, but they're not speaking up. So where do we go? And that was one of the questions last night. And where do we go? This is the time for the grassroots. We have to come forward. We can't hold our voices back. We have to be on the front line and let people know that we haven't fallen asleep. This is it. This is our moment.
This really is our moment. And as we're looking, 2022 is right around the corner. And we need to be recruiting and training candidates that just because they have an R behind their name, because I learned this when I was on city council, the mayor of Lone Tree at that time and the mayor of Lone Tree at this time, they have R's behind their names right now, but they really were pushing progressive policies. And in fact, the Southeast Light Rail extension, they said that it was going to be $206 million. As I was looking at what the bids were coming in, it was $256 million. And I'm like, why doesn't this match up? And it was kind of smoke and mirrors. But just because people have an R behind their name does not mean that they believe in these conservative principles that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And then how that plays out with the founders is you have limited government. And so we are looking for people that want to conserve, hence the word conservative, wants to conserve those principles. And I don't know who can't get behind this idea that all men are created equal with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Steve, do you have a comment?
You keep covering the bases, and then, you know, you already hit the home run and then ask me, do I want to, you know, be the cleanup hitter? No. Sorry.
Okay. You know what? Let's go to break. And then when we come back, one of the top articles that Patty has on here is from the Gazette. And the El Paso County Commissioners oppose this bill that is aiming at creating this Front Range Rail District. Honest to Pete, if you have people, if you have empty trains running up and down the corridor here in Metro Denver, why on earth do we think that we want to then have empty trains that we're going to spend billions of dollars on running up and down the Front Range? So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castle Gate Knife and Tool is a sponsor, again, of both the shows, of the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. And Hal and Linnea Van Herke are true entrepreneurs. Castlegate Knife and Tool is located right in Sedalia, Colorado. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Take a road trip down there and actually see the store. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. They have folders as well as new watches. They're doing these custom rifles. More information, though, go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. Patty Kurgan is in studio. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. As well, thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. And I did not mention our candid COVID conversations. The tickets will be on sale today. That event is 1 week from today. It's a webinar. It is a salon series, candid COVID conversations. Councilwoman Ramey Johnson from Lakewood said, we need to have some honest conversations about this. And so Dr. Jill Vecchio, who will be talking about the medical aspects of COVID, the Wuhan virus, the symptoms, the treatments, the vaccine, all those kinds of things. Matt Durkin, who ran for Jefferson County DA, will be talking about, I'm calling it COVID crime, but Patty, violent crime in Denver is up significantly, partly because of COVID and partly because of the terrible policies.
It is. I live in Parker. I live on the east side of Jordan Road, and I know some people who live on the west side in Bradbury, and they were telling me that car break-ins now is very common. You wouldn't think it down there.
Well, and think how, most people probably have maybe a $1,000 deductible, so somebody comes in and breaks into your car, you're out at least $1,000 plus whatever is stolen, and then also the time to get your car repaired. It's safe communities are something that's really important for people to go after their hopes and dreams. And so crime is up significantly. So Matt will be talking about crime. Priscilla Ron, and she was just elected the new vice chair of the Colorado GOP. She is an educator, a former principal, and we'll talk about the education of our kids because I'm concerned our kids are falling behind, Patty.
Yes.
And then Sue Kinfield will be talking about our mental well-being. And I've talked to a number of parents that have been concerned about their children or their children's friends. And it's a really important event. The tickets are $5 plus a $1 processing fee. Or as Karen Levine said last night, they're $6 total. But it'll be a really great event. And that is next Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. And again, the tickets will be on sale a little bit later today. So be sure and join us for that. Let's, Patty, you said hardly anybody, either national or locally, is talking about the cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline. And we need to talk about it. You've been really delving into it. So what do people need to know?
Well, within the last day or two, people are finally starting to pay attention. So the Colonial Pipeline got hit with the ransomware. We have to be in tune now with what's going on. 10, 15 years ago, people worried about their credit reports getting access, which has all your data, and they can get into your bank accounts, take money, whatever. That's peanuts now. The big money, the millions, is in the ransomware. And they hit Colonial Pipeline. It supplies 45% of the gasoline on the eastern seaboard. And essentially, it's been closing a lot of gas stations and restricting access to fuel. What I did was, after hearing some of the reports come out on Tuesday, I wanted to know how bad it was. So I just want to put aside what's been said on TV, and I talked to, it's a selection of four or five people. One was in the Panhandle of Florida, another one's the Tampa coast. A third one is in Birmingham, Alabama. Another one was in Atlanta. And I guess Atlanta right now, as of yesterday, it was reported, let me see, I think it was like 60-odd percent of the stations were closed. So I was talking to people, and everybody that I talked to so far has said that they haven't had a problem getting gas. They are waiting in lines, but the fuel is there. The gas stations that they closed, surprisingly not, was the little guy. Those were the ones. But the big names that we all recognize, those gas stations were open, and the fuel was there.
So once again, the little guys are the ones that get really hurt on these things.
Right. But just going over this again, it's the problem is with the ransomware and the cyber attacks that are happening and our administration's reaction to it.
And you it's mean been the Harris, Biden, Rice administration?
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, there's pundits going across the board giving their takes. And some people are going straight to Russia. It is a group that's been identified as the dark side that is based in Russia. Russia's saying, well, they're here, but they're not associated with us. But it begs the question, how come only in the U.S. has gotten hit? Nobody, China didn't get hit. Russia didn't get hit. And you take what's going on here, and then you look at the Middle East and what's going on over there, and there's a lot of disruption there between Hamas and Israel. And so is this, some people really believe this is a test on the Biden administration and how forceful will they be? And as we all know, they haven't been forceful at all. They really haven't shown an agenda. One of Biden's spokespeople on Tuesday was talking about, well, Colonial Pipeline, they're a private company, so we're letting them handle it. I'm like, government is always intervening in businesses. Why now are they going to do a hands-off kind of approach?
Well, and Patty, when we were talking about that yesterday, because you and I really do prefer that government stay out of things, but affordable, reliable, efficient, and abundant energy. We know this now. We're seeing this with the big freeze down in Texas, mm-hmm. that energy, people being able to power their lives is so important. And so it does seem like government should step in if we have a cyber attack from some place out of our country. They certainly were so concerned when they had the narrative that Russia had interfered in our elections with the Trump administration, that, hey, they were all over it, right?
Right. It's mind-boggling. And it goes back to what you're saying, energy independence. That was one of the proudest things that we could really stand on. And what was one of the first things Biden did when he came into office? He closed the Keystone Pipeline. After he stood in the faces of people in Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, and say, I support fracking, I'm not going to close you down.
And then he does.
And he does. And this is what's going to happen. So some of this begs the question again. The second question is this by design? We all know they want to get us out of our cars. They want to get us into these multi-family units.
And multimodal transportation.
Yeah. Right, right. So it's just
curious. Maybe we'd say it's curious, isn't it?
Correct, correct.
Very. There's a lot of curious things going on right now,
is
Patty.
Is there some testing of the water, shall we say?
Well, and what about our electric grid?
Well, that's the other question, not just the electric grid, but our water supply. You know, if ransomware gets into that, we're really doomed. I mean, if they hit us during a snowstorm, let's say in Chicago, you'll have people freezing. I'm from Chicago. There's no other source, really. And remember, if they hit the electrical grid, it's like some people are like, well, I have natural gas. Well, still, there's electricity that's associated with the delivery of the natural gas. It's not like you can get in your car because the gas pumps, again, they distribute the fuel into your tank with the help of electricity. There's a lot of components. And then even when you do restrict your oil, we have, remember all the petrochemical products that we have, including you have your computer here.
Your eyeglasses, right, your clothes.
Right. The ski industry, right? Your ski boots, your ski poles, your ski jacket, everything.
It has petrochemicals in it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So when they're talking about getting rid of the oil and gas industry, it's like, what are you thinking? because there's so many products that people use and take for granted that we won't have anymore.
I was just thinking about it, Patty. Steve and I had mentioned that we have these empty trains and buses. And quite frankly, if in like this transportation bill, if it's so popular, if people really want to be traveling on those things, why aren't the people that are supporting that traveling on them now? Actually, and if they're so concerned, first of all, they say they're so concerned about the environment, and that's why they want to shut down oil and gas, or you know, want us to be riding around on trains and buses. Why don't they start? And that probably, quote unquote, would change the footprint, right?
Oh yeah. Well, we all know why they don't do it. It's inconvenient.
Right.
You know, you have this light rail. It goes up and down the Front Range. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't get people to where they need to go, and the people who they want to help the most, they get stopped at the light rail station. So their job opportunities are limited within a couple of blocks of wherever that light rail stops or the bus stops.
And so going back to this cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline, and it looks like they're getting things worked out, but I think the real underlying concern that you have is the fact that this administration is not recognizing the danger that this actually poses for everyday people, and again, what that might, an attack on our other critical services like the electric grid, our water supply, what that would do, again, for everyday people. And do you think people are waking up on the, you've talked to five different people out there, are they kind of waking up to what's happening out there?
You think so? And again, it goes back to what we were talking earlier. The grassroots have to come up. They have to show that they are. And that's how we'll make changes. And even when we're talking about the electrical grid and the water supply and the pipelines, we're talking infrastructure. So it goes back to Biden's infrastructure plan. It has to be true infrastructure and the security of the infrastructure. That's what my concern is right now.
And that is not what that bill is about at all.
That is not what that bill is about. And it's interesting because yesterday the four top players in the House and the Senate met with Biden and Harris, and I really didn't see any news stories come out about what was spoken.
Huh. Yes. Leadership. We're seeing two real examples of leadership and people that say that I didn't like what Donald Trump said. I didn't like the way he said it. Okay, I get it. But take a look at the policies. And I think people are saying, I was doing a lot better under the Trump administration than I am right now. But let's jump over here to Jason McBride. He's a senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. And I had a busy day yesterday, Jason McBride, so I did not see what happened with the market. What was going on?
Well, it was a pretty rough day in the market yesterday, Kim. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned Donald Trump. Can you imagine what the media would be doing with this cyber attack and this pipeline shutdown and the gas shortages out in the East if Trump were still in office? They would have the entire country terrified that we were about to have no energy, no water, no electricity. Somehow they were also going to ransom and shut off our oxygen, and it would all be Trump's fault, right?
Unfortunately, I think you're true. That's very true. But actually, you're not hearing much about it. Patty said finally they're starting to talk about it, but we really hadn't seen the news headlines like what you said we would probably see if Trump was still in office.
Right. Well, the markets had a pretty rough time yesterday, Kim. The CPI, or the number that measures consumer price indexes or consumer prices, came in higher than expected, and that reignited inflation fears. I think also, again, this pipeline shutdown and people's nervousness as to what else could happen, combining that with the inflation fears, caused the markets to have a pretty tough day. The Dow was down 681 points. It's a big number, although it's only about 2%. It still looks big on the headlines when it's 600 points. NASDAQ took it pretty bad as well, Kim. That was down 350, almost 2.7%. And NASDAQ was already in a little bit of trouble before this happened. The Dow and the S&P were looking stronger before, you know, having a sudden reversal a couple of days ago off of all-time highs and then falling down. So we have had five or six distribution days, which are days of selling with heavy volume. So we do have the big boys in there to some degree. So it's probably a good time to be cautious, to really look at your holdings. If you got something that hasn't been acting well since you bought it, maybe it's a good time to cut it loose. Maybe a good time to take a little bit of profit and just raise a little bit of cash just in case this might get worse, Kim.
Well, and I would recommend that people sit down with you, Jason. We talk about it all the time, risk tolerance. Make sure you have a plan. Assess your individual plan. And even though you see a headline that the market was down 2% yesterday, it still is at significant. It's gone up significantly. And so don't be afraid that you can make some changes on things. It's okay. How can people sit down with you, Jason McBride, to talk about this?
Well, the best way is just give us a call at 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600. Kim, we're open for business, face-to-face, and we'd love to meet you.
And again, that number is 303-694-1600. Jason, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Patty Kirkin is in studio. We're going to go through this terrible transportation bill that is down here at the Colorado State Legislature. So stay tuned. You'll want to know all about it.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. And thrilled to have in studio with us our researcher, and that is Patty Kirkin. And she has been going through this Senate Bill 21-260, which is the big transportation bill. And they say there's bipartisan support on it. Not really. Senator Kevin Priola, has his name on it, but typically he's the Lone Ranger, if you will, since we're doing Western music. He's the Lone Ranger on a lot of these very, very bad pieces of legislation. But there are Republicans that are in support of this. Mike Kopp over at Colorado Concern is in support of this. He ran for governor a few years ago on the Republican ticket. I'm very frustrated that we have Republican. John Southers, who's the mayor down in Colorado Springs, says he supports this. Patty, it's a very bad bill, but let's take us through it.
I need to say
the other name, sorry. Senator Finberg and Winter and Priola on the Senate side, and on the House, Garnett and Gray. So all of them are Democrats except Priola.
Correct. And this is supposed to be a, quote, transportation bill, but as you read through it, it's 197 pages in its original form. They have made some changes to it. It really is, you can call it a carbon tax, you can call it a climate crisis bill, take your pick. It really is not transportation. And what we've all been wanting is our roads and bridges to be fixed. That's really the main drive right here, and the desire for people.
And Patty, they hold us hostage on that.
Oh, absolutely.
They say that they will have different bills or different rules, regulations that is going to help our roads and our bridges, which that is so important for people to be able to go where they want to, when they want to. But then they take the money and they use it for something else.
Well, even in this bill, it's, you know, the whole drive force is, no pun intended, is the roads and bridges. And when you look at it, though, the revenue that's generated from the bill, only 20% of it will go towards roads and bridges in the next 11 years.
Really?
Right. So the bill's looking at a generation of $5.3 billion in revenue. So 20% comes out to $1.1
billion. Okay.
The general fund portion that they're putting into the roads and bridges is $660 million. And the rest they're hoping will come from stimulus funds. On Tuesday afternoon, the Biden administration notified the states as to how much money they'll be getting from the American Rescue Plan. In Colorado right now, according to the Colorado Sun, is going to get approximately $4 billion. So that's the good news. And some people would say, to me, that's even questionable with the stimulus funds, how that's all being distributed. But the bad news is they have a list of what you can spend the money on, and transportation is not in there. So if the state legislators, who are all behind this bill, as well as the other groups out there, and they're expecting it to come from the federal stimulus money, according to Biden's administration, you can't use it for
roads and bridges.
So half the money's gone from the get-go, from the start. So, yeah, the Colorado Sun did report that, the Senator Majority Leader Fenberg, he is trying to manipulate and massage the numbers so that it would somehow work into the stimulus funding. And that's all what they're doing. They're always manipulating, massaging, and getting the numbers to where they want it, instead of just putting the cards on the table and being truthful to us. So even in terms of the fees.
So this is one of the big funding, another big funding source on this is fees, right?
Right.
Not
right.
Taxes.
Right.
Fees.
So, and that's,
it's still money out of your pocket.
Right. And as you say, it's just it's veiled as a fee, but it truly is a tax. And so a lot of people may or may not remember that the voters voted on Proposition 117 last year. And Michael Fields and his group did a great job in getting it out. It was passed. And Kim, you know, I called you up the next day.
You did.
And I said, I think it's great that it passed. And to clarify, what this proposition stated was that if within 5 years, $100 million in revenue is generated, then it must go to the vote of the people to approve.
Well, we'll explain it just a little bit more. They create these enterprise zones, and they fund these enterprise zones with fees. And so 117 said that if you generate more than $100 million over 5 years in this enterprise zone with fees, you just have to ask the people.
Right.
And Patty, you did. You called me up the next day and you said, this is great. But what they're going to do is they're going to carve this out so that they keep that revenue cap underneath $100 million. And here we are, right?
Right. If they have to have 5, 7, 10 different enterprises, that's what they'll do to get what they want. And this bill has 4 new enterprises, and the 5th one, they changed the name. And here we are, and they specifically made it so that we don't have to vote on it. And what's really interesting in the fiscal note, and I encourage everybody to go, I know it's 197 pages, so if you don't want to read the whole bill, go to the fiscal note. So you would just go to leg.colorado.gov. And look up Senate Bill 21260. It's called the Sustainability of the Transportation System. And in the
Sounds good.
Right. So you'll see a brief summary, and then right below it will have the full bill context, and then you can do the fiscal note. And I found, though, that it was really interesting when they're talking about the fees in the fiscal note. This is word for word, quote, should fee revenue to any new enterprise approach $100 million, it is assumed that the enterprise board will set fees so as not to exceed this amount.
Can you believe it?
I believe it because they don't care about us. They really don't. They have their own agenda, and they're going to do whatever it takes. The people voted last fall. They wanted to vote on fees, and this is the respect that they show us. No respect whatsoever.
No respect.
Right.
I feel like Rodney Dangerfield. I get no respect, you know, from these people.
Right.
So they talk about fees. I mean, they're going to institute fees at the gas pump. And Patty, that hurts the people the most on trying to move up the economic ladder, to have their own car, to be able to go where they want to, when they want to, as you mentioned, instead of their employment just being up and down the light rail corridor so that they could have the opportunity for different jobs. And these fees are going to make it more expensive, plus the policies that they're putting in place to try to shut down the oil and gas industry. That hurts people. It's like you said, they don't care.
Right. They don't. Well, they have fees on gasoline, and that will be at the pump. They'll have a diesel fuel fee at the pump. And with the diesel fuel, that you're really looking at your truckers. And what happens there is the cost of transporting goods from manufacturer to the store to the home, it's going to go up. So if the cost for the transportation company is going up, they're just going to go ahead and feed that to their end user, and then the end user will feed it to their end user, the consumer. It just piles up. These are regressive, and it's going to hurt the ones that can not afford it the most.
Can I get a clarification?
Sure.
You guys used the phrase a couple times now, a fee at the pump. Now, you're talking about beyond the 22 cents a gallon that we're already paying. This is on top of that.
Correct.
All right. So the 22 cents for the state, 18 cents for the Fed, you know, for gas itself, we're already paying 40 cents a gallon in taxes. And now these are fees.
Right.
Correct.
I love it.
Okay. Hey,
I knew you would.
Yeah, we knew you would. We're going to go to break here in just a minute, but Karen Levine is on the line with us. You know her. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and she has been in meetings for the last couple of weeks, regarding the National Association and Board of Realtors. She serves on that board and has been in a lot of meetings. She is just a real, just really a lion, I would say, as far as fighting for private property rights. What's going on, Karen?
Well, it's been an interesting week and a half, and today we'll hear about the residential economic trends of what's happening nationwide by our chief economist, Lawrence Yoon, and he's always exciting to hear. His data is always right on, so looking forward to that. But I'm laughing because this morning I was listening to an ad on the TV from American Financing, and it was promoting the homeowner who was going to go buy a new home and get a big yard. And all our conversations at the National Association of Realtors these past few weeks have been about urbanization and getting us out of our cars and taking away our yards. So the conversation
at the Board of Realtors, they're having that talk. Really.
And that's because that's all the policies that are coming out of Washington. And so we're having these conversations. And right now I feel like I basically have a fire hose on me of all the information and trying to navigate through that information to be able to then speak intelligently to our board of directors and ask. We have a housing shortage nationwide, and yes, density can help with that housing shortage, but what do the people want? What do homeowners want? What does the middle class want when it comes to housing? And we've heard through the COVID journey that they want to move away from the cities. So I feel there's a lot of disconnect.
Well, and it is public policy that these pundits and politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties want everyday people to move, as you said, to urbanization of living in 4 and 5 story apartment buildings, living along a light rail line, and being happy about it. But Karen, you know that actually Americans do want the opportunity to have that yard, their own park, if you will. And this policy, and I was astonished when I was on city council that we were seeing policy. We were seeing mayors and city council people that were being influenced to that policy instead of standing strong for free and fair markets. let people make their decisions instead of policy. So I know that you are a voice there that it's difficult because there's this drumbeat people think that, yeah, that people really want this urbanization. But what you're seeing is people do want their own home.
They do. And with Patty's conversation regarding this transportation bill and Steve asking the question about the fee being added to gasoline, that's just one more way to discourage us to have what our desires are. So you raise the cost, which you say, well, then I've got to be closer to work, or I have to be accessible by bicycle, walking, or light rail. So mass transit, and it all sounds great when you talk about, which is a conversation we had this week, the 15-minute neighborhood, which is being accessible to all things in 15 minutes. That sounds great, but there's a cost to achieve that.
Well, and what if somebody doesn't want that job within 15 minutes? And what they're doing, Karen, is they're trying to make it more expensive and using policy to force you into that 15-minute neighborhood versus you making that choice. Right, Karen?
Well, that's kind of what I'm seeing and hearing and starting to feel the pressure.
And you are a voice, though, for everyday people. And I know you've spent a lot of time on this. You volunteer a lot. And it's not just coming out of Washington. It's coming out of local government as well, Karen.
Yeah, it's spilling over. So.
Yeah. But if you want to buy or sell your home, Karen Levine is the person to talk to. How can people reach you?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516. And I am available to take their calls, even if they just have a couple of questions about how to navigate this crazy real estate market.
Again, that number is 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, thank you for standing for private property rights. It's not easy, but thank you for doing it.
It's my pleasure, even though it's challenging.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, Patty Kurgan is in studio. We'll continue on regarding this transportation bill. Stay tuned.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who contribute and support our work. We are an independent voice looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Patty Kurgan, one of the ways they use force is through taxation and policy. And that is, there's all kinds of force in this transportation bill.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Every page.
All 197 pages of it.
Exactly.
Which is a lot longer than the U.S. Constitution. Just wanted to make that point. Now, one other thing, when we didn't mention this, and that is that the El Paso County commissioners have said that they don't want that train coming down to El Paso County. So they are not in support of this transportation bill.
So you're talking about the railroad, correct?
Right.
Right. So that's a little bit different than this.
Oh, I thought that the money for that was in this as well. Maybe not.
No.
Oh.
It's its own thing.
Oh, that's extra.
That's extra.
Okay. I was confused. Thank you for clarifying.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this bill, actually, I'm going to ask people to go to table number 9 in the fiscal note, and I think it tells you everything you need to know. So beginning in, they have a three-year projection of estimated funding for this transportation bill and the separate enterprises. So in year 3, they're looking at $125 million being generated. Of that, only $11.4 million will go to the state highway fund. So that's not even 10%. And that's, again, if they get all the funding that they were talking about through federal stimulus money. And then, but you have, like, we keep talking about multimodal options. They have a fund that gets $18.1 million. They have an electrical vehicle grant fund of $0.2 million. Bridge and Tunnel Enterprise, $33.4 million. I love this one. The Community Access Enterprise, it gets $21.7 million. They have a Clean Fleet Enterprise, $19.6 million. Clean Transit Enterprise, $9.4 million. And the Air Pollution Enterprise, $11.1 million. Some of these things I see duplication in. And, of course, they're putting it all under different agencies. Some of them will go under the Colorado Energy Office.
Bureaucrats.
Just CDOT. And our favorite, the Colorado Department of Health, Public Health and Environment, they'll get their own little enterprise for this. And then they have to staff it. And the staff gets salaries plus all their benefits.
Pensions.
Correct. And it just goes on and on. And instead of limiting government, which we keep talking about, it just keeps bloating it. And again, as I read through it, I found some duplication. But they'll have it in different departments. And so they'll be paying two people for maybe the same job.
And Patty, this really goes against our freedom of mobility. Now, the name of it, our transportation sustainability, whatever it is exactly. I can't remember. I've got it.
Oh, here it is. Sustainability of the transportation system. And it's interesting because sustainability is never really defined in the bill.
The word sustainability is...
can almost mean anything today.
And it sounds good because we want things to be sustainable. But this is not sustainable from a financial standpoint, and to be depending on the federal government for all of this money.
Just for the road portion. All the fees that we're talking about really are going to go for these other enterprises. So the only fee really that I could see that's going directly to the roads and bridges is the additional fee that we'll be paying at the pump.
Okay. And so all of this money is going to be going, and they're going to be using policy to try to get people out of their cars and on into these trains and buses and these apartment buildings.
Oh, I can already see it because some of these have specific estates that they get grants. And grants can be used for anything, as we know, right? So I can already see somebody turns on their TV and they're going to be seeing ads why you have to trade in your vehicle for an electrical vehicle. And we'll be paying for this. It's just like with COVID, right? Right now we have all these commercials about why you need to get the shot. Well, now it's going to be why you need to get your electrical vehicle.
And the electrical vehicles, it takes a lot longer to charge them up. And as we know, the batteries do not work very well in cold weather. Mm-hmm. And it seems like we should be electing people that want to help us thrive and prosper instead of putting through legislation that actually, I think, hurts us.
Correct.
So let's just go through. Oh, Steve, you're waving your arms. You want to say something?
A little tidbit I heard on USA Radio News earlier this week. Toyota. Now, here's something that the Colorado Golden Domers don't have under their control. Toyota is readjusting their forecast for the number of EVs that they're going to be manufacturing downward because they just don't see the demand. So what's going to happen down at the Golden Dome when you have manufacturers holding back?
They'll penalize them.
No, what they're going to do, and it's in this bill, is they're going to give more incentives. So already here in the state of Colorado, if you buy an electric vehicle, you get $4,500.
Off your income tax.
Right. So that would just go up. They'll get more.
And that's the thing about if you want to drive an electric vehicle in a free market, do that.
Do it.
But so the state of Colorado has been giving a $4,500 income tax credit. The feds have been giving an $8,000 income tax credit. So when you see people driving around in electric vehicles, what they're basically doing is they got to take $12,500 off their income tax right off the top. And so there's the carrot that you're talking about, Patty. But there will be, if they don't get the numbers that they want, there will be a penalty coming down the road. I'm convinced of it.
Right. And the fact of the matter is when you're talking about the incentive that people get, it's been shown on average the income that somebody makes is in the mid-70s.
So these are high.
Right. It's high income earners. So they have completely taken out the average person earns around $50,000 a year. They've taken that person out of the mix. So what happens to them? Do they lose their car and then they get forced onto public transportation?
Okay, so let's just we only have a minute left to connect this dot. So the high wage earner, which I love high wage earners. I want everybody to increase their wages.
Bring them up.
But then they're saying that they can get a break of $12,500 on their income taxes. But the little guy over here who's trying to go up the economic ladder wants to have their transportation, wants to have affordable, reliable, efficient, and abundant energy. They're making that energy more expensive for them. So the high wage earner is paying less in taxes, and the little guy over here is paying higher fees.
Correct.
Am I getting that right?
You're getting that right.
Doesn't seem like a very good idea. Okay, button this up. What's your last comment on this?
We see this all the time. It's just classic. It's hurting the little guy. I mean, look at through COVID. Who got hurt the most? The small business owners. Even with this gas shortage on the East Coast, I've been told it's this very small gas stations are the ones that don't have any gas.
Okay, so when we talk about the grassroots, that means we need to understand these issues. We need to be engaging in this battle of ideas. This is our generation. This is nothing new. Tyrants, they just look different from each and every generation, but this is tyrants down here at the Colorado State House. We need to show up for elections. We need to run for office, and it is the grassroots that's going to save Colorado. Patty Kirgan, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for all the work you do.
Thank you, and thank you to your listeners.
Oh, most definitely. Okay, T.S. Eliot, and this was a quote that I heard the other night from Jonathan Stone Street from the Colson Center. He said, "For us, there is only trying. The rest is none of our business." So today, my friends, go out there and try. And be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. You are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. This great unknown, and I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.